I don't like food. I love it.
Anton Ego was the most ruthless food critic France had ever seen. He was the enemy of Gusteau and known to the press as the Grim Eater. But he wouldn't remain that way forever. He would actually open his mind to become an artist himself through the inspiring work of one tiny chef. And later in this video, I even go to the place in Walt Disney World where the rest of Ego's story is explored beyond the final moments of the original film. To explain how he got there, though, we need to look back to the beginning of Ego's life. Oh, and whether you're new here or you're a returning viewer, if you like Pixar discussions like this one, consider subscribing for more. It means a lot to me, especially since this community is on its way to reaching 1 million subscribers. Now, Anton Ego grew up in the countryside of France. There, he was raised by his mother, where he experienced some of the fondest and most comforting moments of his life. The food his mother prepared for him, while simple to some, would remain in his heart his entire life, and it would influence him to pursue a career in the culinary arts. But Ego's passion for food didn't initially lead him to become a chef or a creator or an artist. Instead, he became disenchanted with the restaurant business as he rose to prominence as a critic. While writing for the newspaper known as Le Journal, Ego began to feel like the fine cuisines he was eating were draining experiences. The food seemed to lack imagination and life, and he became jaded and bitter. Ego was desperate to find food that could make him feel something.
Since you're all out of perspective and no one else seems to have it in this bloody town, I'll make you a deal. You provide the food, I'll provide the perspective.
On top of that, the negativity within his reviews was easier to write and more entertaining to read compared to the positivity he would rarely share. He was encouraged to condemn and ridicule the food presented to him within Paris's finest restaurants. The general public praised, embraced, and trusted his criticism, and that provided him with real influence and prestige. At the pinnacle of his career, his opinions could destroy the reputation of restaurants and their chefs forever, and Ego embraced that power along with the title that was bestowed to him. For many years, Anton Ego was the Grim Eater. Ego built a temple to write his reviews. Within his coffin-shaped office, he was surrounded by excellent wine, his greatest reviews on the wall, and a skull-shaped typewriter on his desk, which he of course used to craft his destructive takedowns. Now, the most infamous review he ever wrote was against Chef Gusteau. With the release of Gusteau's best-selling book, Anyone Can Cook, Ego targeted the world-renowned celebrity chef, for Ego refused to buy into Gusteau's cherished belief.
But I, on the other hand, take cooking seriously, and no, I don't think anyone can do it.
Inevitably, Anton Ego's scathing review against Gusteau, which compared Chef Gusteau to Monsieur Boyardee, not only devastated Gusteau, but led to his restaurant losing one of their coveted 5 stars. In the aftermath, Gusteau died of a broken heart, which according to tradition led to another star being removed from his restaurant. Ego had risen to a position where he was capable of taking down the king of French cuisine. He personally relegated the famous chef to the tourist trade in microwave foods. I think Ego became convinced that he alone could shape the landscape of fine cuisine across France, and that seemed to be true for some time. The world's attention did fade away from Gusteau's. Gusteau's successor, Chef Skinner, profited off of using Gusteau's likeness to sell generic food for high prices in grocery stores all across the world, while the flagship restaurant fell by the wayside. Until a few years passed and a new chef arose to prominence within its kitchen. New recipes led to positive buzz and great reviews claiming that an innovative new chef known as Linguini was revitalizing Gusteau's.
What he doesn't like is that it's come back without his consent.
How could it be popular?
After announcing his intentions to review Gusteau's again, Ego arrived the following day with high expectations. He was sure this would be the time he would bury Gusteau's for good, but nevertheless, he made it clear what he was searching for from the chef.
You know what I'm craving? A little perspective.
Now, within Gusteau's kitchen, instead of creating a common recipe designed for high-end restaurants, a small rat named Remy chose a peasant's dish for Ego. It was a stew known as ratatouille. And when the critic took his first bite, it completely shattered his world. Ego had a complete sensory experience while eating Remy's ratatouille. Unlike anything he had eaten in years, the dish immediately transported Ego to a memory of his mother comforting him using her own recipe for ratatouille. It was a nostalgic escape for the cynical critic. You can even see it in Ego's face. His skin warmed up through just a single bite of Remy's dish, and that only happened because Remy sought to create a connection with Ego through his food. You see, Thomas Keller, the chef who designed Remy's version of ratatouille for the film, explained in behind-the-scenes videos that he came to understand the ability for food to move people through his own mentor.
He made me understand that there was an emotional connection, and that was actually cooking for somebody. Anybody can cook, it's just you have to have the desire, the determination to make something that you're gonna feel proud to give to somebody, have that emotional connection with somebody.
And that's what Remy achieved with Ego.
I can't remember the last time I asked a waiter to give my compliments to the chef.
Of course, after learning the truth that a rat was the chef who had prepared his meal, Ego became conflicted. He knew that what he had experienced was special, but it made him question all of his work up until that point. What qualified him to be the bringer of death to culinary artists? What impact did he make through his work? What did Ego publicly risk across his career? While he longed to find meaning within his reviews, he knew at the very least it was time to use his voice to uplift a truly exceptional artist.
There are times when a critic truly risks something, and that is in the discovery and defense of the new.
Ego aligned himself with Gusteau's new tiny chef. But by declaring it to be France's finest, even though he knew it was infested with rats, he lost his job and his credibility as a critic. Though it wasn't all bad for him, when Remy, Linguini, and Colette began to set up a new restaurant, La Ratatouille, Ego was one of the investors who got that bistro off the ground.
He's enjoying his meal, he's enjoying his life, he's not hated by people as much. He is putting his money where his mouth is, so he's risking a little more than critics tend to risk, and it's paying off for him.
But Ego went one step further. After La Ratatouille was a success, he created his own shop, Le Cave de Ego. But to learn more about that, I have to head over to Walt Disney World. Specifically, I need to go to Epcot.
We aren't currently in the France Pavilion. There was recently a new ride added, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. And one of the coolest things that I've gotten to see in the Disney parks is the fact that Anton Ego's story is expanded within this land. And we get to see that through the physical embodiment of his own art. He created his own store to sell his own wines. And I think that's such an awesome way to expand his story, that he went from someone being just critical, sitting on the sidelines, but now he's taking action. He's putting his own artistry into the world. He's not only investing in the small businesses like Remy's restaurant, but now he has his own kind of creation that he's being vulnerable and putting out into the world. Typically, we don't get to see continuations unless there's a sequel of some kind, but the parks get to offer that, and this land in France is just such a cool way of being able to do that.
Now, in Anton Ego's shop in Epcot, we learn that he produced his own wine called Chateau Ego, and there are three distinct dates highlighted on the bottles in his display case. 2007 was the year Ratatouille released into theaters. 2014 was the year Ratatouille the Adventure opened at the Disneyland Paris Resort. And 2021 was the year Remy's Ratatouille Adventure opened in Epcot. Through the artistry of one tiny chef, Ego opened his mind and reconnected to his true passion for food. While he was seduced by the influence and prestige he wielded as a critic, he willingly turned away from that path so that he could help create something meaningful and new for the world. Because of Remy, Anton Ego found the courage to set off on his own and become an artist. And personally, I find that inspiring, and it's the reason I wanted to make this video. I'm so excited by the idea that Anton Ego was able to make the leap from existing around great artists to becoming one himself. I've just had similar conundrums to Ego recently. I've questioned what value my videos have here on YouTube. When I compare my work to what's being done over at the animation studios I've longed to be a part of my entire life, I've wondered whether or not what I do matters. I've come to a place where I realize that I have an ability to help people have a greater appreciation for the characters and stories that I talk about, and I think that's incredibly exciting. I believe it's meaningful to know that I can help you become a bigger Disney fan by creating these videos, and I know that's the case because that's what other YouTubers have done for me. There's definitely still a part of me, though, that romanticizes the idea of creating something completely new. But I'm grateful for what I'm making today. But now it's time to pass the conversation over to you. What do you think of Anton Ego's story, and what do you think it means to be an artist? Let me know your thoughts down in the comments, along with any other ideas you have for future videos. Finally, I'm Isaac Carlson. Thanks for watching, and have a magical day.
I always feel so uncomfortable.